go wrong. Oh, anointing of Samson, let fake muscles became strong. Lord, lead me to those pillars, let me cast those devils down. Let me hear those seven thunders sound. For the spirit of Samson is on me. The spirit of the Lord is anointing me. Arise and fight, fair lady, touch the scepter in my hand. Make known your desire, it's my pleasure to command. Lord, my people, the earth, they must have their liberty. Let me go and set the captive free. For the spirit of Esther is on me. Yes, the spirit of the Lord.
Sometimes we think it's nothing to sing. Come and sing. Amen. Praise His name. Amen. We are so happy the children sing. Amen. Amen. Our children. I hope my children will sing. Amen. Amen. Praise His name. Let's sing that song. John was in the Spirit. Amen. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard voice from heaven. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, evermore. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Hallelujah, behold, I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forever.
own. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard a voice from heaven, and this is what he said: I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forevermore. Behold, I live in hope. I live in hope. Forevermore. Hallelujah. Behold, I live in hope. I live in hope. I live forevermore. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah. Behold, I live. Behold, I live. Behold, I live forevermore. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? He's heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen his word, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonder, once more wonderful, wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? The original land, the original sin, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is within the seven seas. The original life, the original sin, those attributes that manifested to this bride in this last day. We have called the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know we are. What they are raised up for, praise the Lord. For the original life, the original, the original sin, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seven. The original life, the original sin. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say, and our names are sealed within. So we are anointed and inspired by our God, the original life. original lie, the original sin. Our eyes of understanding, ears open up at last, and sweet the victory is ours, who have changed down in the past. True Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our call. It's the original line, the original line, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. Seven seals is unveiled, the original lie, the original sin. We are called unto adoption, to authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for the salvation in this hour. Gentiles' day will soon be over. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to our God. The original lie, the original lie, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe.
Amen. Let's pray, saints. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord. How we thank you for song. How we thank you for worship. How we thank you for truth. Father, how you are so wonderful, Lord. Father, your original life. Father, that's what we've come for upon this day. The original seed. Oh, Father, we've been called unto adoption. Full authority and power, the sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Father, we know the Gentile days soon will be over. And Lord, all we can say is glory, hallelujah, to our God. Father, we give ourselves to Thee. Bless your people upon this day. Father, praying for them that aren't here, that you'd watch over them. Brother George at work, bless him, keep him. Lord, we pray for Brother Andres and Sister Viva, Lord, bless them, help them, strengthen and comfort them, Lord. Brother Goran, we pray for him, Lord, that you'd quicken him and bring him quickly back unto your house, unto his wife, we'd pray. Father, we've come now. Help us as you open up your word, open up our understanding. Lord, we just want to come and humble ourselves before thee, Lord. Father, we just want you to instruct us, you to guide us. Father, you to commune with us. We want to come into the tree of life upon this day. Father, this tree of knowledge is not what we desire. But Father, to partake of you is our desire. So bless your people. Touch us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, God bless you richly this morning. Let's open Matthew chapter 11. Really do appreciate everyone's prayers while we were away last weekend. Really glad to hear everybody had a good time in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a good thing. To worship the Lord. While we were away, where we were staying, there was a television, so on Sunday morning I put it onto the Christian channel. I said, let me see if there's anything Christian on here. Ha! I watched for a while and I said, I wish I was in Dublin. Our friends, you don't realize what we've got.
Amen.
You go and watch people that film stadiums, big ministers, and you could take any minister from the message and they outshine them. In the real thing. It was so powerful to me. I said, oh Lord, you've given us such a wonderful thing. It's so good. Matthew 11:25. Let's read from up to 27. This is the scripture the prophet preached and used when he preached on God hiding himself in simplicity. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Let's just take our thought today on God in simplicity. We had a birthday party yesterday, and we were fellowshipping with the brothers who came. And Brother Wilmer gave a real, very good testimony. It was very powerful. If ever you go in fellowship with Brother Wilmer, ask him to tell you the story of when he went to Zimbabwe 2 trips ago. It was outstanding. You know, sometimes, and that's where I was been thinking of this thought. And when Brother Wilmer spoke about just how Satan can try his best to derail something, to hinder something. But how God can work sometimes in ways that can be so strange that if you're not careful, you won't recognize that it's God. The Lord can do things that afterwards you can look back and you can wonder yourself and say, but hey, how did that happen? How did those circumstances come together to work at such a point, such a time, to achieve a certain purpose? And sometimes it hangs so finely in the balance. It was just a split second of something, or of it, just a couple of minutes delay, or if that person hadn't been there, you find that's in the life of a believer. You know, so I went and I was reading from God hiding himself in simplicity, because the prophet speaks about this principle. He uses this scripture. Jesus saying, Father, imagine Jesus was rejoicing in spirit, the Bible says. This was something, this principle that Jesus was meditating upon, how God would hide himself. Imagine God hiding himself from you. If you have the wrong attitude, God hides himself from you. He hides himself from you. And he reveals himself. But it depends on your attitude, because he reveals himself unto babes. You know, so when we come in a certain condition, with a certain attitude towards the things of God, now to a believer, you'll always see God. If you approach things the right way, God will reveal himself to you in everything. But at the same time, when he's making himself so real to you, in whatever situation's going on, to the unbeliever, they can't see God. It's impossible. They'll find some natural explanation for something. They'll reason it out. They'll find some way. Because Jesus says, Father, thou hast hid these things. God has made a conscious decision. He's made his desire that God had was, I'm going to hide these things from these people because of the attitude. And that really just shows how this world can get into a certain place, that God can be so real to a believer that for someone to tell you there's no God, you'll just look at that person to say, what? Which planet are you from? But to that person, they'll be so convinced that there's no God. And God will give them evidence to prove that he's not there. God will harden the hearts of people. God hardened the hearts of Pharaoh. So if your attitude is wrong, God will give you plenty of ammunition to feed your unbelief. Plenty to hide himself. God's hiding himself from the unbeliever, but he reveals himself to the believer. So to the believer in those same circumstances, God's making himself so, so real. In the same Exodus, he's making himself so real to Israel, but he's hardening the heart of Pharaoh in the same things that he's doing. And Pharaoh will be so convinced that he's right. And the believer will be so convinced that he's right. And we're living in an Exodus time once again. And that's how the prophet says it in paragraph 20. He says, it's a strange thing to think how God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple. You see, how God hides himself is the things that he uses most of the time to achieve his great purpose is something so simple. You see, because to the world, we're thinking it's got to be some great something to get great things done. Now, if something great is going to be achieved, it's got to be some powerful, educated person. There's got to be some outstanding person to get something outstanding done. But God turns the wisdom of the world on its head, and God takes the weak things, the despised things, the things you would never expect anything good to come from, and God uses that to achieve his purpose. But because he does it in the simplicity, it stumbles the wise and the learned. They say, that's nonsense. Those kind of things can't happen. That's how he does his things. So he says he hides himself in something so simple that it'll cause the wise to miss it 1,000,000 miles. And then he'll turn right around in that, the same simple thing, in the simplicity of his way of working, and he'll reveal himself right out of that again. So to one person, this is just an offense to them. They'll take the prophet's message. They'll look at what Brother Bram says. They'll look at his language. They'll look at he doesn't have education. It'll offend them. They'll say, how can this man be a prophet? Yeah? And to the other people, to a believer, to a babe, will take that same book and God will be revealing himself. God will be so real. The same book, exactly the same message, the same circumstances, the same working of God. But God will unfold it in one way that will make a person, the wise, the prophet says, miss it a million miles. They'll be so far from seeing God in that thing. Yet to you it'll be so real. So real. And then they'll come to you and say, okay, prove that that was God. You say, I can't prove that was God. But I know that it was God. You see how God has done things. But to them it's so real. That wasn't God. That just happened. That was just a coincidence. And then when God does miracles, then they want to say it's now psychosomatic healing. They've got all these reasonings of why it's not God. All these reasons. And you know what the Bible says about those kinds of people? Can I tell you? Let's read it, because if you just say it to people, it can offend people. If I can find my scripture. You have to be careful sometimes when you read the scripture. In fact, we'll get to it. Let me just continue on this quote. This is what the prophet says. He says, I thought it made a text that you might study this before we go into the great teaching of the seven seals. Now you see the prophet choosing this topic before he gets onto the seals. The seals was such an epic spiritual event. It was such a defining moment. It was a pivotal time, spiritually speaking. The unveiling of these seals, the revelation of the seals. But the prophet, knowing, being wise and being led, he knew, let me come and explain to the people first how God works. Amen. That God works in simplicity. Amen. So he says, let's study this. He says, many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Amen. So the way he reveals himself, there's got to be something in it that if you're not careful, you're going to miss it. Amen. But to another person, it's going to be such a revelation of God. To another person, it's going to completely step right over that thing and not even see God in that situation. And this is the vast majority of how God deals with us. Amen. God always does this. God is not a showman. Amen. God doesn't come in front of the public. People will say, if God is real, why doesn't he do this? No, 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 no. God wants to humble the arrogancy and the pride of people. If God went in front of people and he was a big showman and he calls fire from heaven and all these different things in front of everybody, like Satan wanted Jesus to do, cast yourself down. That's not the nature of God. Amen. That's not his nature. And God doesn't want to support the unbelief and arrogancy of people. So when God works, he makes sure that if a person has a wrong attitude, God's going to feed the attitude of that person. Amen. If somebody doesn't want to believe, God's going to feed the unbelief and say, that's up to you. Because God resists the proud. Amen. God resists the proud, but God exalts, he raises up the humble. That's the way that he does it. So many miss him by the way he reveals himself, because man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. Yeah? But ignores what he's doing. You know, so God can be working so real today, and he is working, because God is always working. Remember, they came to Jesus in John chapter 5 when he healed that man on the Sabbath day. And they said to him, but how can you heal on the Sabbath day? You see, they'd made up in their mind with their law and their traditions and their intellect. They'd made up in their minds how God should work and when he should work. They'd made it up. This can't be God. If this was God, he wouldn't use this carpenter's son. He wouldn't use, he's got a questionable birth. They say he was born of a virgin. Nonsense. There's no such a thing as that. God will never use someone like this. Yet the fullness of God was hiding in that man. And was unveiling himself to certain people so real. Amen. To Simeon and Anna and Elizabeth. And then when Jesus grows up, you see the reality God was making in the lives of certain people. Confirming time and time again how real he was. Amen. But to the religious, to the wise people, had their own understanding of how God should work. They came to Jesus and they came to that man and said, no, for 6 days we must work. If you want to be healed, you must come. Don't come on the Sabbath to be healed. And how did Jesus answer them? And Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh and I work hitherto. He says, my Father's working all the time. He works on the Sabbath just as much as he works on any other day of the week. Don't put him in a box. Don't tell him how he must work and when he must work. Be careful, you'll stumble over the simplicity. God was at work, but because of their attitude, they completely missed what God had just done. God had raised a man up. No, God can open the eyes of the blind, and that opening of the eyes of the blind would blind the eyes of people spiritually because their attitude is wrong. Because people will say, but oh, all these great miracles, they'll open up the eyes of people. Jesus fed 5,000. Where were the 5,000 in the upper room? They weren't there. They weren't there. Jesus came and they threw their palms. You know, Hosanna, Hosanna. The prophet was 3 days later. They were saying, crucify him. There's nothing to do with that. It's your attitude. He'll make himself so real in your circumstances. He'll reveal himself to you in a simplicity. It'll be so real to you. This was God. This is the way that he worked. But that exact same work, he'll hide himself in it and blind the eyes of the unbeliever. Say, Father, thank you. Jesus rejoiced and said, Father, it's just. It's right for you to do this. This is wonderful the way that you work. You hide yourself from the wise and the prudent. And you reveal yourself unto these babes. That's what the prophet says. He says, that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what great things he did. But they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it. Like we look back and you say, look at the Exodus. Look at the great things that were done. But you fail to see what God used to do it. Amen. People would have thought, why didn't Moses come with a great army? You know, he should have raised an army and stuff. He sends a shepherd with a staff. Amen. And he confounds the wise. Amen. And even when the Exodus unfolds itself, those plagues start coming and that. God, almost all those plagues, God did them in the natural. It was locusts. It was hail. It was things that could just have happened. And people could have just said, it just happened. It just happened. You know, the BBC made a program a few years ago explaining the Exodus. You know what they say happened in the Exodus? They said there was a great volcano in some island of Greece. And this great plume came of ash over Egypt at that time. And it caused the great darkness. Yeah. Despite the fact that the darkness was the ninth of the plagues. Yes. And they say, that made it dark. And that doesn't explain why in Goshen there was light. But they say there was a great plume of ash. And that came. And what happened? That polluted the waters. And the waters became like blood. And because of that now, the frogs hopped out of the water. Couldn't live in the water because the water. And they went into the land. And then the frogs died and caused all the flies to come. And the lice. And that caused disease, which was the boils that came upon the people. That's what they say. But can you see, God gives them ammunition to say that? Because God uses the natural things. He hides himself in simplicity. But to the believer that was under expectation at that time, knowing that time for deliverance had come, when they saw Moses come and stretch forth his hands and knew, this is God. This may be working itself out in the natural, but this is supernatural. This is supernatural. You see how God allows the unbeliever to have plenty of ammunition to feed his unbelief. But if a person will just humble themselves and approach it the right way, God will use those very same things to make himself absolutely real to you. Absolutely real, that you'll never doubt for a minute. It says now, it's not the glamorous things that we think about. He says, but it's the simple things that God is so real in. The simplicity. It pleases God to reveal himself, then hide himself. Hide himself and reveal himself in simple little things. Where I thought of this was yesterday when we were speaking, and then I just mentioned to the brothers again, I said, remember that time we looked at the book of Esther? Because the book of Esther, many of the Jews in them, they said it shouldn't be in the Bible because it never speaks the name of God. There's no prayer in the Bible, in the book of Esther. There's no mention of festivals or feasts. It's just a book which seems to have nothing of God outwardly. But the book of Esther is absolutely God. Amen. It's a book, they say, it's a book, the Jews say, it's a book of wonders without a single miracle. There's not one miracle in that book, but the whole book is a miracle. Amen. And that's the way that God is. God can just take something which is so outwardly seems natural. Different people meeting different people, different things happening, different events, the right person in the right place, this happening, things unfolding themselves. To the natural man, you'll say, that just happened, that was chance. But to the believer who's under expectation, it's a powerful manifestation of God. God will see so much of God in that situation. And the prophet's saying the same thing. He uses such simplicity sometimes to reveal his power, to do things that if we're not careful, we step over it. And we don't recognize what it is that he's doing. Now he gives us the explanation. He said, you'll say, why would a just God do that? He says, because man was made in the beginning not to try to shift for himself. Man was made to rely completely upon God. My. So God never made us to be the ones that are cracking our heads and saying, this is how it should be done, and this is how my life should work, and this is what God should do. We're putting ourselves in his position. Man was made to be a sheep, to trust in his shepherd, just to follow as he had lead, just to respond to his impulse. Just whenever he says something, just to accept it. Just when he says, go there, you just go. That's the life that Jesus lived. Man wasn't made to shift for himself. So the moment you're trying to shift for yourself, you're trying to put yourself in the position of God, and you're trying to dictate to God how he should work and when he should work and what he should do, be careful, he hides himself. He hides himself away. Then you say, but where's God? But the moment you come down once again and you humble yourself and you give him his position, he uses those same things and he reveals himself to you. And it'll be such a powerful revelation to your own soul. That's why he says it's so simple. God makes himself simple with the simple in order to be understood by the simple. So there's a certain spiritual condition we need to stay in as believers. We all know it. When I was thinking of this last night, you even go and pray and say, Lord, forgive me so many times. You've worked on my behalf. But I never fully appreciated what you did. Because it can be so simple sometimes, but when you look afterwards, you say, that was so powerful. God did something so powerful there, but it worked out in such a simple way that you can just pass on by. But only when you get in the spirit once again and you start to consider those things that happened, you get yourself in a certain spiritual dimension, then you say, but oh Lord, how could I fail to see the reality of you in that situation? You were so real there, but I never worshipped you. You were so faithful there, but I never recognized what you were doing. Friends, the Jews today are still waiting for the Messiah. He came and look at all the things Jesus did. Look at all the scripture that he fulfilled. But they never recognized God hid himself in simplicity. He was so hidden from them that still up to today they're blind. But there's coming a day they're going to get in a certain spiritual condition that he's going to unveil himself to them. And that's the way it is that he works with us as well. The prophet says that's how we miss him. Until the scholars of these days and in all days miss him a million miles. Because in their intellect, they know there's nothing like him so great. But in his revelation, he makes it so simple. So in his being, he's so great that we think, okay, if he's going to reveal himself, he's going to have to show me in such a great way. Then he comes so simple. He comes to another brother. He comes to another sister. He comes to what seems like a chance meeting. He comes to just something happening in your life. That if you weren't careful, you wouldn't see God there. But God is so great. But he comes and he hides himself in a blade of grass, the prophet says. And the scientist will be walking over that blade of grass with all of his great theorems that he fills the blackboard with, but failing to see the power. Amen. The revelation in a blade of grass, in a human eye, in an insect, something like that. Just the awesome power of design in those things. Totally failing to see those things. So he finishes off, he says, now, study that. That's why I went on to this topic. He says, study that. Amen. Study it all. And you people who are visiting here, when you go to your motel rooms, take those things and ponder over them. Now, if you like me and the prophet says something like that, then I stop and I say, but he doesn't want us to miss something here. Amen. Let's ponder over this. Amen. Let's study this. People will say, but it's too simple. Yes, God hides in simplicity. Amen. God hides himself in simplicity. He says, we don't have time to break it down as it should be broken down, but when you get to your hotel, wherever you're staying, gather together and study over it. Friends, it'll be far more profitable than speaking about who won the elections yesterday. It'll be far more profitable than all the other things we can speak, as if you gather together and study over these. Like, yes, it was such a blessed fellowship when believers just start speaking about how God moved on their behalf. What God did. There's something so powerful about it. There's something so good when you study over this kind of a thing as how God reveals Himself. He says, but don't try to get the great, because they go right over the top of it. But listen to the simplicity of God. And then you find God right here in the simple way. Now he says an expectancy. Usually a person gets what you expect. So if you come down to that place that you're expecting God to work on you, but you're expecting this week to see God working in your life. God is at work all the time. He's working for you even when you don't recognize it. But if you can get spiritual a little bit, you'll be able to recognize what He's doing. All the time He's doing things for you. He's working things. He's keeping you from danger. He's providing your needs. He's watching over your children, watching over your family, providing your needs, keeping you from things that are going to be do damage to you. All the time He's working. But you need to be in a spiritual condition to recognize that. Say, that was the Lord. Oh, thank you for what you did there, Lord. But sometimes we get out of that spiritual condition. Doesn't mean God stops working, but we fail to see because of the simplicity that He's unfolding Himself on a daily basis. That's why He says, usually you get what you expect. He says, many people come to a meeting, they go to church, they say, why? I didn't see nothing. I didn't expect to see nothing in the first place. That's the reason you didn't see nothing. That's a challenge to anybody, any unbeliever. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Stop trying to make yourself God. Let God be God. I guarantee you, He'll reveal Himself to you in such a powerful way that you'll come back and say, I was such a fool that I never saw this God. Because that's the way that God works. So that's the reason you didn't see anything. I didn't get helped. I didn't expect to. You usually get what you expect to get. But if you come to the service and you're expecting to find something to criticize, a religious service, Satan will be sure that you see it. He will show you something you can go away with and criticize the meeting. You see how God has done it. God has made it even in the midst of His people. There's going to be plenty of things for you to criticize here today. If you've got a critical spirit, if you think that you're better than everybody else, you know how things should be. He's going to show you plenty of things to feed your criticism. Because that's the attitude that you've got. But if you come here humble, you come here wanting to worship God, you come here wanting to, you're going to see God. Amen. You're going to see God. Amen. He says, but if you come expecting to get help from God, God will meet your expectation. He always does. Wherever you go, whatever you do, what you expect brings your faith. Ah, friends, it's a sad thing to go to the house of God without an expectation. Amen. It's a sad thing to open your Bible without an expectation. Amen. It's a sad thing to go to pray without an expectation. Amen. Why go to pray without expecting to meet God? Because you're going to get what you expect. Amen. But if you go to pray and say, I'm expecting to meet Him, He's promised to meet me. He said, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You'll get what you expect. Because that's faith. That's expectation that you've got. You're expecting to meet Him. And if we go from this place this week expecting to see the hand of God working, expecting to see Him leading us, expecting to see Him working on our behalf, you'll come back next weekend with so many testimonies. Because you'll say, God was so real this week. But it just depends on our condition. We get what we expect. The prophet says, wherever you go. He says, if you come saying, well, there's nothing to it. That's just the way that you'll go home, with nothing to it. If you come tonight saying, well, if I don't get prayed for, I'll go home and won't be healed. That's just the way that you'll go home. But if you'll come here tonight saying, I come for one sole purpose. That's to contact Christ for my body or my soul. You'll go home just as happy as you can because you'll contact Christ. It's always like that, friends. But if you're going to get up in the morning, overwhelm yourself with the internet, overwhelm yourself with Facebook, overwhelm yourself with the cares of this life, go off to college, to school, to work, whatever it is, and then fail to see God, it's your fault.
Yes.
You haven't put yourself in an attitude of expectation. But if you get up in the morning and you wait upon the Lord, and you read the promises of God, then you say, but Lord, you've said, I'm on an expectation to see you fulfill your word. You will see God. You'll see God every single time. It just depends because you get what you expect. And that's why, like I'm saying in the exit, let's think about the cloud. Ah, friends, it's a powerful thing, the cloud. To us, it's such a sign. It's a super sign to us, the cloud. But you know what God allowed to happen? Why so many people left the message? Because the same day the cloud formed, there was a rocket down in California. A Thor rocket, 500 and something miles away. So God makes sure when he comes in the supernatural, he's going to put something for Mr. Unbeliever as well.
Amen.
So a person who doesn't want to believe the message, God's going to give them lots of ammunition.
Amen.
They're going to say, that wasn't formed by seven angels, that was a rocket. But the amazing thing, for some unexplained reason that they never explained to me, that rocket was down there in California. It moved all the way from California, all the way up to Tucson, yeah, Flagstaff. All the way, in a perfect day. And nobody saw it all day. Nobody took a photo. Nobody saw it. And yet in the magazines, all the magazines say, Ring of Wonder. Such a beautiful cloud. Like pearl on the inside and there. But all the way from where it supposedly began, all the way to Flagstaff, no one saw it the whole day. Then just at evening time, it appears there, 27 miles high, 30 miles across, yeah? Perfectly the fair Hoffman's head of Christ. And still Mr. Unbeliever, because of his attitude, will say, that's not supernatural, that was natural. God is wise, friends.
Amen.
If you want to criticize, he's going to give you some ammunition.
Amen.
Although it doesn't make sense what you're saying, but if a man doesn't want to believe, he's going to hold on to that and say, no, no, it was a rocket that formed that. Friends, how can a rocket form Hoffman's head of Christ? Like I said, that's even more of a miracle than if angels made Hoffman's head of Christ. But you know how it is. The prophet says he couldn't even see it himself. Then the angel said, you have to look at it right. You see, that's the way that God works. You've got to look at it the right way. And the moment you look at it the right way, you can only see Christ. You just see Christ in that thing. But to Mr. Unbeliever, looking at not the right way, he's got plenty of room to feed his unbelief. What about 1977? That's something that stumbles so many people. Because the first thing they do when they search this message, they type William Branham, 1977. He said the world was going to end in 1977. Yeah. God knows what he's doing, friends.
Amen.
He didn't say that.
Amen.
Go and see what he said.
Amen.
But he's given ammunition to Mr. Unbeliever.
Right.
To harden Mr. Unbeliever that if you don't want to believe, if you want to fight against what God is doing in your day, God's going to give you plenty of things to harden you.
Amen.
God's going to give you plenty of ammunition to fight against the truth. That's what Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden yourself.
Amen.
You've hidden yourself from the wise and prudent. You've blinded their eyes.
Amen.
And Jesus said, this is right because of their attitude.
Amen.
Because of their arrogance. Because God does something so wonderful, a person doesn't want to believe. You know why they don't want to believe? Because when you believe that was God, there's accountability now.
Yes.
And this age doesn't want accountability. It's loudest here. It's people's rights. They don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They don't want to be under the authority of anything. So anything they can find to fight against God, against the Bible, against faith, they don't want to put themselves under accountability. But to the believer who just wants to be a lamb, who wants to be a sheep, all of these things simply reinforce the desire inside of you to say, I don't want to think my own thoughts. I want to think his thoughts. I want to give him his headship and his position. And that attitude, now he makes himself so real. Those very things that are blinding them are the very things that are real to you. The same visitation that blinded Egypt brought light to Israel. The same water that destroys Noah, that destroys the world, It's salvation to know it. It's the same act of God, but completely different the results that it brings, depending on your attitude towards it. That's why we've got to be careful. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. Let's look at that one. Look what Jesus says again. Now don't forget, God is love. God is not arrogant. God is not spiteful or vengeful against people. But one thing God is against, we saw it the other day. God resists the proud. God gathers his garrisons together. God garrisons all of his resources whenever he finds pride. When he finds man wanting to make himself something that he's not. And God wages warfare. That's what that word means. God resists. God wages warfare against pride wherever he finds it. Mark chapter 4 verse 10. When he was alone, that they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. So Jesus would teach the mysteries of the kingdom in parables. He never came straight out and said, let me tell you people, the kingdom of heaven, this is how it works, and this is how it works, and this is how it works. He'd come and say, it's like a man sowing seed. And he sows it among the thorns, and he sows it on the side of the road, and the birds of the air come. Some is sown in good soil. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Then Jesus goes away. And those that had the right attitude, who wanted to know, those who would come, willing to come and put themselves in submission, to say, Master, teach us the meaning of this parable. Then the whole truth would come out.
Amen.
Then they'd say to him, but Master, why do you do this? Why don't you speak to them the same as you speak to us? Why don't you make it so real to them the way that you make it real to us? Look how he answers them. And he said unto them, verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Why? Verse 12. That seeing, they may see and not perceive. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. So God goes and puts a rocket blowing up down there, and he puts a mystery over here. So that those people that don't come about it the right way, they'll see it, but they can't perceive.
Amen.
They'll see it, they can't believe. So that the virtue and the power and the revelation and the unveiling of what that thing means will never come to them because of the attitude.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he's saying, Jesus. Amen. That seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted. And their sins should be forgiven them. Ah, oh, friends, that's a powerful thing.
Amen.
You will say that God is an exclusionist. He excludes certain people. No, it's not God excluding people. It's your attitude that's excluding you. It's your approach that excludes you. It's the way you face up to sacred things that excludes you from them. It's your attitude inside of yourself. You're trying to raise yourself up above Him. That's what excludes you from the kingdom. But the moment you'll humble yourself, God will just unveil it to you. And that unveiling will convert you. The virtue will change you. It'll do something for you. God will be so real in that visitation that you'll never doubt it for a single day. But that's the thing about revelation. No man can give it to you. Flesh and blood can't reveal it to you. It's my Father in heaven, and God is so great, but He's so humble. God is so powerful, but He's so simple in the way He reveals Himself. And if we don't become as babes, we miss it. We miss who He really is. And that's why the prophet came to preach that message, God hiding Himself in simplicity, then revealing Himself in the same before the seals. So we've got to be careful, because we can get big heads, friends. We can think we know everything about it. You know how the prophet explains the seventh seal? We've seen it many times before. In Christ is the mystery of God. He says it was sealed in silence. He says God sealed that seventh seal in silence. He says, but He revealed in all the types of the scripture. So the seventh seal is in Ruth. Yeah. The seventh seal is in Esther. But go and have a look in the book of Esther. It was so humble. That King Ahasuerus never even recognized what God was doing in his kingdom at that time. God was working out a great spiritual mystery. God was bringing deliverance to his people. God was confounding all of the works of the enemy. But he used such simple people. Mordecai, Esther, nobody's in the earth at first. And the prophet says, that's the seventh seal.
Yes.
Be careful, we don't try to make some great something up there that no person can attain to. The prophet says, when it's unfolding itself around you, even as you speak.
Yes.
We're living in the seventh seal.
Yes.
We're living in the shout, the voice, the trump.
Amen.
We're living in the rapture cycle. We're in the process. It started. But it's so simple. God, but to us, it's so real. We'll see prophecy being fulfilled on every side. We see as it was in the days of Lot out there. We see as it was in the days of Noah out there. We'll see all the shadows and the types. The prophet says, God revealed the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, in all of the shadows and types of the scripture. Right back to Eden, he said, we can find it. So we can go on Joseph, we can find the seventh seal, how he dismisses his wife to the palace, and then he reveals himself to his brethren. All those different types and shadows, we'll find this great mystery in there. But be careful, because you've got to become simple for that mystery to become real. Because the moment you think you're somebody, you step right over the power that God has stored away in that mystery. You've got to keep yourself humble. That's what he says. Now, God works with an unseen hand most of the time. Like we said that time, the book of Esther is a book of redemption. Just as much as the book of Exodus. They're both books of redemption. They're both crisis books. They're both times when God has to move on behalf of his people. Now there's times in your life God's going to move like in the Exodus. There's going to be times that it's going to be sun stand still. And God is going to suspend the elements. God is going to work in the miraculous. There's going to be times the doctor says there's no hope and God opens the Red Sea. That's got to be like that. But there's going to be other times, and many times it's more common, God's going to work in redemption, like in the book of Esther, where you don't even see him in the book. The whole book, you never see the name God. It never says the Lord did this or the Lord did that. But the entire book is God fighting on behalf of his people. But if you're not careful, you'll overlook it.
Amen.
You won't see what God is doing on a daily basis inside of your life.
Amen.
We've got to be careful of doing that.
Amen.
And that's how looking at these books, looking back at the way God dealt with his peoples in the past, in simplicity, in the sacred history like of the scripture, it should stir up our expectation.
Amen.
To look at our own spiritual sacred history that he's been dealing with us.
Amen.
To look back and say, but Lord, you forgive me. I didn't recognize that was you. I didn't recognize your power when you did that.
Amen.
I didn't recognize your goodness, your deliverance, your redemption in that situation. But if you're under, the prophet says that, he says, if you don't see Jesus in every scripture, read it again.
Amen.
And to a believer, if you don't see God in every one of those junctions in your life, become humble and look at it once again.
Amen.
And he revealed himself that he was with you, though you didn't reveal, because he works so many times with an unseen hand. Now, Psalm 14, let's put it up. God so much works like this every day and in so many circumstances. In a way that you could miss him if you're not careful, but he's so real. The way he unveils himself, that Psalm 14, verse 1, this is what it says. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. God actually says, I'm so real in what I do. I'm so real in every situation in life that if you can't see me, you're a fool.
Amen.
We're not saying you're a fool. God's saying you're a fool. God is saying you're a fool. God is saying if you cannot see me in this life, you're a fool. All these people who deny God, the Bible is saying they're fools. I'm a fool for Christ.
Amen.
Whose fool are you?
Yes.
It just depends on which fool we are. But that's what the Bible says. At the end, it says it in Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. God, he says, this is foolishness. For all the things that I do, if you'll just humble yourself, you'll never be able to say there's no God. Never. That's a challenge, friends. To any person who doesn't believe, humble yourself. Ask God, say, Lord, I want to humble myself. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me this week. And see what God will do.
Amen.
Heavens and earth will pass away.
Amen.
Before he doesn't reveal himself. Because to the believer, he's so real. That's why he says a fool. But God, the way that he works in so many situations, in order to hide himself, in order to hide himself from the unbeliever, hide himself from the proud, God uses stealth warfare. If you go and study the first Gulf War, when it was George Bush Sr., and they wanted to bomb Baghdad and go there, and when Saddam Hussein had invaded Kuwait, it was the first time they used stealth jets. Stealth jets are jets made in such a way, using such composite materials that they absorb radar. So that the enemy is there and he's sending out his radar signal. He's got all of his defense systems there and he's, you know, saying, you're never going to take me by surprise. I'll see you before you get here. And America sent its F-117As, the first stealth fighters. And they went straight through the radar and the radar never picked them up. And went right behind the defenses, right into Baghdad. And the first the enemy knew they were being attacked was when the bombs dropped on their radar systems and blew them up. And then those same jets went straight out again and were never detected. The only thing that could be detected was the result. God uses stealth tactics so many times that you won't see him there, but the results will show. But God's been here. God's done something. The devil won't detect him coming in. The devil won't detect him going out. But the devil will say, God was here. God did something. And that's what the book of Esther is. God comes in. You don't even see him there. He blows apart the works of the enemy. Brings to naught the fool, the arrogance of the wise. Leaves the book of Esther and you still say, but hey, what happened there? How come we find Haman on a gallows? How come we find Mordecai, right-hand man of the king? How come we find Esther exalted to such great honor? Because that's the way that God works so many times. He works in these stealth ways. He comes in. And only the believer will see that he's there. Only the believer. He doesn't even leave any fingerprints for the unbeliever when he comes. But to the believer, you will see him everywhere there. You say, this was God. And you'll go and worship him and thank him for what he's done. And Mr. Unbeliever sitting next to you will say, I don't see God in that. You see, he blinds the eyes. He hides himself because of the simplicity of the way that he works. But then in that same simplicity, he reveals himself so powerfully to his people, converts his people, changes his people, provides your needs, does everything on your behalf. That's the great miracle. The greatest miracle to me is that God can achieve the miraculous without using miracles. Amen. In the book of Esther, he achieved the miraculous, but it's not one miracle. He never suspended nature. He never had to use his power in an outward way. But just in the everyday events of life, of this person meeting that, of this king not able to sleep, of that man choosing a certain scroll to read at a certain time, of a certain man throwing lots at a certain time, God was in control of all of those things. Ah, friends, that just shows how powerful he is. We limit the Holy One of Israel. That's what the Bible says. You have limited the Holy One of Israel. We limit him. He's in charge of everything. He is controlling everything around you and me. But because he's in control of everything, the Russians send the astronaut up there. Yeah? What are they called? Cosmonaut. They send him up there into space. He says, I don't see God here. What's he expecting to see? What's he expecting to see?
He left him down.
He left him down, that's true. God hides himself. Amen. But he's in charge of those. He can make those planets line up exactly at the right time, right junction, just when he's doing something with these people on earth. Amen. He so governs things up there that exactly at the right time, those things move together to achieve a certain purpose. Amen. But to the astronomer, the scientist, he'll look up there and say, I don't see that. I just see natural laws in motion. That's how he hides himself. Amen. That's how he hides himself. But to us as believers, it becomes so real. But to Mr. Unbeliever, they'll say, we can shoot the heavens. We can look like the prophet. There's so many light years. We can see right the way back to the Big Bang, whatever they call it. They don't see God in any of that. Because he hides himself from the wise and reveals himself unto babes. but he's Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. Amen. What does it mean? The Lord shall provide. Amen. To provide means, the word provide means, comes from two words. One, to see beforehand. Amen. So God sees things beforehand. That's how he provides. Listen to what the prophet speaks about foreknowledge and predestination. Because God sees things before they happen, he knew what was going to happen with Haman. He knew what was going to happen with Pharaoh. He knew all these different things that took place before they happened. So because God has foreknowledge, he can now counter anything that's going to happen, but he can do it many times just using natural means. He can just counteract things in a stealth way. Just move things and just put things in place. And then the enemy thinks he's got you, and then he finds out that you've gone. And then you say, but I didn't even see God in this situation. Because God, by his foreknowledge, can predestine. He can predestinate things to take place. In questions and answers, somebody says, what is meant by predestination before the world began? The prophet says, first thing I want to say, predestination is a bad word for a minister to use before an untrained congregation. People don't like that word. He says, but I always use the word foreknowledge. Because predestination is only the foreknowledge of God. So for things to come to a certain destination, for things to unfold to a certain point in your life, that you met a certain person at a certain time, just when you needed to hear the gospel, just when you needed to hear the message, God managed to bring this person from there, you from there, and bring you together at exactly the right time. That's God's foreknowledge. Because he can foreknow, he now predestinates. He starts to move situations, but he uses it many times in the natural. Your parents move to another country. Somebody moves here. You can't get a place in this college. You have to go to that college. And if you look back and you say, how did that work? That I ended up in that place at that time. It'll show you just how much God was in control, even when you didn't know that he was in control. God was in control. He was in control of your parents and your grandparents even before you were born, because he knows all things. Because he foreknows, he can predestinate now. He can start to move things and circumstances. And things move according to his purpose. He says in Jehovah Jireh, his foreknowledge allows him to predestinate all things to work together to his glory. His foreknowledge. To a believer, that's a wonderful thought. Because your problems you're going to meet tomorrow, he's already preparing the solution. Even before you know you have a problem, God's making the solution. That's what foreknowledge is. He knows, uh-oh, the devil's going to try something there. So what does he do? He starts sometimes 2 generations before. 3 generations before. 50 years before. He says his foreknowledge allows him to predestinate all things to work together for his glory. That's the great Jehovah. It isn't him that willeth or him that runneth. It's God that shows mercy. That's why you just want to be a sheep. That's why you don't want to use your own intelligence. You don't want to fight your own battles. You don't want to push the doors open yourself. Because his foreknowledge, he knows how to get us there. And he'll predestinate exactly the course if you'll just follow him. You just have to follow him. So the prophet gives us a key now. So, it isn't how much you try. It's how much God has done for you. It isn't how much you try. It's how much God has done for you. What made the difference in your life? What you tried or what God did for you? It's what God did for you. Generally, when we try, we complicate it. When we try, we just make it messed up. But when you let him do what he has ordained to do, he knows how to do it well. He knows how to bring things to be. The prophet says, so if you've got enough of God to come to out here tonight, a desire to hear the message, you ought to be the happiest person in the world, because God is moving in your life. You didn't realize that was God. For you to desire to be here today, for you to be sitting here today.
Amen.
You will say it was just a chance. There's no such thing as chance.
Amen. That's right.
For you to desire to hear from God. God is working in your life.
Amen.
And if He's working in your life in that aspect, He's working everywhere else. Amen. Even where you can't see. That song says He never sleeps.
Amen.
He never slumbers. He never tires to answer your prayers. He's working in ways you cannot see. But when the crisis comes and all of a sudden you find there's answers there already, you say, where did this answer come from?
Amen.
God was preparing an answer for a long time, friend.
That's right.
God was sometimes having to move nations and move kingdoms and do things just to bring help to you there. And if you're not careful, you will stumble over the simplicity of it. That it was an absolute miracle, but worked out in the natural. And if you're in the natural, you're not going to see the miracle.
Amen.
You're not going to see the power. What God had to do to bring that to you at that time. Now every believer could sit down today at home, prayerfully, and meditate upon the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And you could sit down and write a lot of things. You could write a life story there that would be so powerful. And if the Lord could unveil to you and you could see beyond the veil, all the things that He's done that you haven't recognized yet that He did for you, what a testimony it will be. And when we get there, beyond the veil, then it's going to all open up to us. That's when you'll take your crown and throw it at His feet and say, you're the only one that's worthy. Because it's not how much you try, it's how much God has done for you. That's what it is. And presuming now, He says, He knows everything. Even a thought. Discernment proved that. Many times people came in those lines of discernment and had totally forgotten something. And the prophet says, you were thinking about this morning. And the person, oh, that's right, I'd forgotten that I was thinking about that. Let Mr. Scientist come and explain that to me. How does that work? How can that work? How can a man know what somebody was praying in their heart the day before and the person even forgot what they were praying? How? There's an intelligence, friends.
Amen.
There's an intelligence,
amen,
that knows every thought.
Amen.
Every thought.
Amen.
He knows everything, even a thought. Amen. Every thought you'll ever think, He knew it before you were ever born.
Amen.
That's the reason by foreknowledge He could predestinate. Okay, let's bring it down to Jonah. Before he was born, God knew his thought. God knew, when I say to him, go to Nineveh, he's going to think, I'm going to Tarshish.
Yes.
So what did God do? God started preparing a fish.
Amen.
Before the man was born. Because
yeah.
Like I said, that brother Ron Spencer said, he asked that man at the aquarium, how long would it take to prepare a fish to swallow a man? He said, at least 70 years. Jonah wasn't 70 years old. So God started preparing the solution to the problem before the man was born. He started preparing a fish 70 years before the fish was needed. So Jonah thinks, I'm going to get out of the will of God. God knows it before the man's even born. He's going to come to a place, he's going to get out the will of God's already producing the solution. The man says, I'm never going to go to Nineveh. That's his thought. God's preparing a fish, Big Fish Express, to get him to Nineveh. And think how it worked. That storm that came. Yeah? That storm that came exactly. Now think of Jonah. He's in the boat, yeah? Those people cast lots. That's okay, let's take a lot. They put things in a bag and each one of them takes something out of the bag, yeah? Is everybody okay? Once the bell rings, the people are thinking of the bell. Jonah, the people say, whose fault is this? Somebody's to blame for these things because they knew there's always a cause. Those men, they knew nothing happens here by chance. Why is this happening inside of our lives? So they say, let's cast lots. They put all these things in a bag. Jonah takes his out. He's the one who gets the wrong one. Think of that.
Amen.
Think of what is required for God to work. That when all those other people put their hands in those bags, they took the wrong pieces. And you tell me God's not in control. Those are unbelievers. But somehow, I don't understand how it works. God governs unbelievers.
Yes,
He
yes,
does.
Yes.
He'll never override their free will. But God makes even the unbeliever,
yeah,
Even the enemy of the gospel, he makes them work to his glory. He makes them work for your good and his glory. Somehow he does that. The storm comes up. They say, let's throw this man overboard. Now think, God for 70 years has been preparing that fish. But God has to bring that fish exactly. 2 minutes later, it's going to be too late. 2 minutes earlier, it's not going to work. As the man is thrown out into the stormy sea, the fish has to be there. You tell me God can't coordinate things. Look inside of your own life. God knows how to coordinate things. If you and I will just follow him, he knows how to coordinate things. He knows how to bring exactly what you need at exactly the time that you need it. A minute early, a minute too late, it wouldn't have worked. And you look and say, but how did that work? And Mr. Unbeliever said, it just happened. But to you, he said, this is God. This is a miracle working in the natural. Imagine the power, imagine the miraculous that was required to bring that to that situation. Impossible to think. The combination of things that have, what about the prophet flying the aeroplane and the storm comes and has to land? Because of the woman in Memphis.
Amen.
Think of what God had to do.
Amen.
Think of what his power had to do. No one saw God.
Amen.
But they just saw the clouds rising up. They just saw a warm front coming and colliding with a cold front that they never expected. As a great storm front comes up in front of the airplane. And the man's radioing down there to the tower and saying, you know, we never expected this. You never told us when you left the weather was going to be bad. And they say, we didn't expect it to be like this. This is unexpected. And it brings an airplane down.
Imagine.
You don't tell me that's not a miracle. That's a miracle.
Amen.
But where's God?
Amen.
Can you see God there?
Amen.
Only the believer sees God.
Amen.
Unbeliever says it just happened. It's God hiding himself in simplicity.
Amen.
And then revealing himself in the same.
Amen.
To us it will be so real. What about a prophet? His wife giving him a Bible. We spoke of it before.
Amen.
That they print a Bible, yeah? And for some strange reason, two pages stick together. They put a little bit too much glue just on two pages of a brand new Scofield Bible. And then they pack all of those Bibles together. Maybe they made 10,000 Bibles that day. They put them in 2,000 boxes, whatever. Those are being shipped out to different parts of the country. That particular Bible went into that particular box to be delivered to that particular bookstore at that particular time, Christmas time. So that Sister Meda could go in there and there was that Bible sitting there. And out of all of the rest of the Bibles, all the other bookshops, she chose that Bible. Ha ha, friends. You can't tell me he's not in control of all things. And then she gives it to Brother Branham. And then that day, he's got his Bible, like mine, when the pages are falling out. And he says, let me not use this Bible today. Let me take the Bible my wife gave me for the first time. And then he wants to open his scripture, and it's exactly those two pages stuck together.
Amen.
And you listen to it on the tape.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Amen.
That's why when he went from there, the prophet knew there's something deeper, but he didn't see it at first.
Right.
He didn't see God in that at first.
Yes, yes, yes.
His wife never saw God in that. She was saying, Billy, I'm so embarrassed because I'm the one who brought you the Bible. That was a miracle, friends.
Amen.
That was a miracle unfolding in the natural. That's what it was. There were so many things God had to coordinate and synchronize to get that little something in the eyes of men to take place so that the prophet exactly at that time could read, this day the scriptures fulfilled. Because the priest has to give him the book. And just that day, by chance, there's a Catholic priest on the pulpit. Bishop Stanley, OSD, of the Chaldean Rite, whatever it was. And then that man gets moved to say, God is fixing to move my son here, use my Bible. And the prophet reads the scripture and gives it back to the priest, not even knowing what he's doing, just because he can't find his scripture. Ah, friends. God knows how to fulfill things. God knows it's not him that willeth, it's not him that runneth. It's the program of God. We've just got to move with him. He knows how to bring it to pass. He knows. And if you can just get in that channel of expectancy, to be expecting him to do something, He'll never let us down. Because he knows what he's doing. So he knew Jonah's thoughts. He knew the need for those pages of a Bible to stick together. What about Paul and Silas? Why didn't he just send the angel of the Lord to Paul and Silas like he did to Philip? Say, go down to the jail in Philippi. Preach to a man down there. God knows what's best, friends.
Amen.
God knows. God knew that this man, in order for him to be ready for the gospel, and in order for these two men to be in the right condition to present the gospel,
Amen.
Think of what God had to do. God had to allow that crowd, yeah,
Amen.
Unbelievers full of the devil,
Amen.
To beat them, put them in prison, not just in prison, take them to the deepest part of the prison, exactly the place where that man was in charge of. Put their feet in stocks. Leave them there at midnight. And then there's an atmosphere. They're expecting God to do something.
Amen.
They don't know why that they're there, but they know God doesn't make any mistakes. Amen. This wasn't an ambush of the devil. God's unseen hand is here somewhere.
Hallelujah.
Then they start worshiping at midnight. Then comes an earthquake, shakes the place. That was the last thing that jailer needed to see. He saw Christ in the lives of those men.
Amen.
He saw Christ in their attitude.
Amen.
Then he saw God shaking the place.
Amen.
Then he came and says, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house shall be saved.
Amen.
Think what God had to do to bring those people together at that time. Amen. Then think of how God brought you to the truth.
Amen.
It's just as big a miracle.
Amen.
It's just as big a miracle.
Amen.
But sometimes we haven't seen it as such. But go and consider it today. The Bible says, I think Psalm 107, at the end when David speaks of all the different misfortunes that come across people and then they cry out to the Lord and he delivers them. The last verse says, he that is wise shall consider these things.
Amen.
And shall see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
But we need to be wise to consider these things.
Amen.
To see the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's read Psalm 139 as we come to a close. This was David's revelation. Look what David's revelation was of who God was. Very powerful. We know the scripture, but just in this context. Psalm 139 verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He says, God, you know my thoughts long time ago. Verse 3, thou compassest my path. And my lying down. And art acquainted with all of my ways. To people that are here today that you're unsure of your ways. God is saying that in his word. God knows your ways. God knows where you are. God knows why you are where you are. Let him be God. Let him be the shepherd. You be the sheep. He'll lead you through. But if you want to be God, you want to try to change the situation. You want to try to manipulate the circumstances. That's up to you. But if I were you, I'd wait to see God in simplicity.
Amen.
The Bible says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. It shall not lie. It shall speak. Wait for it. Because there's an appointed time. Verse 4, David says, for there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And friends, all of us need to repent there, because there's things we said this morning we shouldn't have said. Things we said yesterday we shouldn't have said. If we could just realize that there's not a word that you can say that he doesn't know. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. Because he's already made the provision for your situations you're going to face up to in the future.
Amen.
He already has. He already knows your uprising. He already knows you're sitting down. He already knows where you're going to be. You can't go anywhere. Jonah thought, I can flee from the presence of the Lord. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And a genuine believer, it's not an easy thing for you to get out of the will of God.
Amen.
You will say, I'm going to get out of the will of God. God will just bring a big fish, bring you back into the will of God. He knows how to do it. It's not an easy thing. You've got to really force your way out of the will of God. You do. But if you just say, this is too hard for me, I'm not going to do this anymore. Friends, he knows what he's doing. He knew that thought before you had it. He knew you were going to think that thought before you were born. He's already been engineering the solution to that. And it's just coming to maturity time now. That particular solution is just about to mature and reveal itself. If you'll just wait upon him. And if you think of how God works, I think so much of the way the Lord achieves things in and through us is by just shutting doors and opening them.
Yes, amen.
He says, I am he that shuts and no man can open.
Amen.
I am he that opens and no man can shut. Amen. Many times that's how he works. You thought you wanted to go and work in Botswana. He closed the door.
Yes.
He thought, I want to go and live in South Africa. He closed the door.
Amen.
Then you find yourself here.
Amen.
And you say, why am I here? He knew that you'd
amen.
Be here. And if you'll humble yourself, there's a purpose for you being here. If you think of all the circumstances, the intricacies, the complications God had to go through to get us all to be here today, in this place, it's a miracle, friends. It's miracle upon miracle for us all to be seated here today. Think of it. If you really think of it, so surely there's a purpose in that. That's how God's power is absolute. He's really absolute. Now, God is not a showman. He doesn't do that. The prophet says, the angel said to him, even the third pull will not be a public show. See, God doesn't do it like that, but to the believer, it's the most powerful thing. If he wants to use his creative power, where does he do it? In the woods. Just him and his prophet. No one else was there. If he wants to reveal his glory, his power, Sister Hattie's house. He doesn't do it on CNN. He doesn't do it on Fox News.
Amen.
He doesn't do it at the stadium. He doesn't do that.
Amen.
Can you see how God hides himself?
Yes.
And Mr. Unbeliever and Mrs. Unbeliever said, never happened. I don't believe those things. But to a believer, there's a divine witness in your soul because he's done a lot of things for you. You may never have spoken and seen a squirrel, but you've spoken things and God's answered them time and time again that you know that it's true. And you know by the divine witness in your own soul that that's absolutely the truth what this man said. But God will always give room to Mr. Critic and Mr. Unbeliever. I listened to the, I can't remember who was telling me, but it was about the testimony of when the prophet was in the car with Brother Biscoe and the angel of the Lord came down. Brother Biscoe says that was a defining moment of his life. He felt he could almost pass away. But you know there was another brother sitting in the back seat of the car. He never felt a thing. He never felt a thing. Here's the prophet sitting with his whiskers sticking out, feeling like he could die, his face ashen gray. Here's Brother Biscoe saying, I can tell you exactly where that being was. He was right there where the gear stick was, where the shift would be. And Brother Biscoe says, I didn't even want to think a thought because I thought if I just think a thought, I'd pass out of this life into eternity. And there's someone sitting in the back seat and he doesn't know anything's going on. God hiding himself and revealing himself. Those soldiers can be beating Jesus, striking him. Nothing happens. That woman just comes and touches. That same Jesus, virtue comes and heals her. That's why the disciples said, Master, how can you ask who's touching you? So many people are touching. No, someone's touched me. There's a different touch, and that's all that it needs. It's a certain kind of a touch. And then he unveils himself. And then you say, I know my Redeemer lives. That's the way that it works. This is what he says in conclusion. Abraham and his seed, he says, God knew from the beginning what Esau was. People say, God's not fair. How can he say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated? God knows your every thought before you're born. God knows your attitude towards the birthright even before you're born. He says he knew what Jacob was. And God knew in the beginning what you were and what you were not.
Amen.
Friends, why did God, in his great unfolding of things, let's just read one more scripture before we close. If you go to the book of Psalms, speaking about Joseph, Psalm 105, just to show how God prepares things ahead of time. And then put yourself in the scripture. We know the scripture, Psalm 105, verse 16. Look what God is going to do. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Yeah? Foreknowledge.
Yes.
and predestination. So he sees the need before it comes. He knows I'm going to call for a famine, 7 years of famine. He knows Jacob and his sons, they're going to be in trouble. So God's going to predestinate. God's going to start bringing about the solution well before the problems even come. So what does the next verse say? Verse 17. He sent a man before them. Even Joseph. But look how he went. Even he was sold for a servant. How did God send this man? By making his brothers hate him. By making his brothers throw him in a pit. By inspiring the Midianites to come past at that time and getting the brothers to think, what profit is there if we leave the boy in the pit? Let's make some money out of this. And they take him out and they sell him and he's taken on an ambassador in chains, down, being sent of God.
Amen.
Oh, friends, that's predestination. Amen. He's working in ways you cannot see.
Amen.
But let it unfold itself. And you will see there's a miracle in the making, the prophet said. God's working something here. Oh, but if you're going to look in the natural, you're going to say, everything's going wrong. I try to serve God. He reveals his dreams to me. I try to tell my brothers about this, but brothers just hate me. I never wanted to leave my father. I love my father. God knew that. God knew this young man's never going to leave his father on his own. God knew we were never going to leave our lands on our own. God knew that for so many of us. Were you ever going to leave Zimbabwe, Brother Wilmer? You never would have. I never would have. He caused a famine on the land. Yeah? And there's a famine, and then people are just moved to different places, and you come together at a certain time, like with Esther. You can come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God knew how to bring it. So God uses the malice of people, uses the envy and the wickedness of people. Instead of Joseph getting frustrated and saying, this is not fair, he submits himself. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the shepherd, I'm the sheep. Then he gets in the prison. Things are going well. Says, hey, wonderful. No, so he gets to Potiphar's house. Yeah. He's put in charge, chief steward. Oh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I can stay down here for a few years. And maybe I can buy my freedom. Then there's a lie. He's accused of attempted rape. Ah, friends. His reputation is made dirt. And that was God. That was God. Because God had to move him from there to the next stage of the journey. Because it needed to be the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were put. How is Joseph ever going to meet the king? And the famine's due now. The famine's brewing. There's a crisis in the making. God's going to have to move the situation to get his man in the right place for the right time for him to express what he's supposed to express. And so he uses Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife lies about him. Joseph never gets bitter about the lies. He says the Lord was with Joseph. He kept the right attitude. Yeah. Then he's thrown in prison. Right there, weeping, his beard growing out, saying something's wrong here. Nothing was wrong there, friends. It was the unseen hand of God. It was God working out a great miracle that he was going to achieve. It was God bringing a preparation. That's the most powerful thing about the Lord, is that how he can bring these two things to intersect at exactly the right time. As Pharaoh's power is getting to its peak, Moses is ready at the right time. As the famine's about to set in, Joseph is ready at the right time. Ah, friends, how he can bring all of these things, synchronize them together. It's a powerful thing to think about. And that's why a believer has no fear. A believer has no fear you'll miss the rapture. A believer has no fear you won't be there. How can you have that fear? Has he ever failed you yet? Even your thoughts, when your thoughts went astray, he knew your thoughts. He knew how to counteract those thoughts. He knew how to bring those thoughts captive like Jonah's and bring you back into the line of the perfect will of God. Oh, friends, that's how the Bible says there's no weapon yet formed by man that'll prosper against you. And no tongue that'll rise against you will work. It'll be condemned, the Lord said. Because he's in control of all of these things. It's a powerful thing to think about. But just in season, the world, they say, cometh the season, cometh the man. Yeah? Just at the time when Pharaoh had the dreams, Joseph was there just in time. From the prison to the palace. Ah, friends, I love that. Because that's how he works with all of us. He'll sometimes shut you in the quarry and you'll wonder, I've been going through an unproductive life. for the last season of time. It's been hard in my spiritual life. It's been hard in my experience. Those are sometimes the most valuable times. Those hidden times when he's shaping something inside of you. When he's taking off the rough edges, shaping the stone so they can fit you exactly in the position in his kingdom that he has for you. But just keep the right attitude, because he knows what he's doing in these things. That's why he sends a man down before them. That was God's foreknowledge and his predestination, and how he was so in control of all things to bring Joseph to that place, to stand before Pharaoh at that time. And Joseph looked back and said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, because all things work together for the good. So the prophet says, it says, God knew in the beginning what you were and what you were not. So therefore, let's just be what we are. And all of these things has to operate together to make the great wheels of God go on. Not one thing is going wrong. I'll guarantee you that. Friends, for a believer, it's impossible for things to go wrong. Even if you're heading towards Tarshish, it's not going wrong. The solution's already there. The solution, it might take longer, might be a little bit extra pain, but you're still going to get there. He knows how to get you there. The prophet says, do you think the devil could ever conquer God? My, certainly not. He cannot. He makes everything work together for the good of them that love him. He's just making everything pull right on in. So whatever you're going through, my friend, don't look at it with frustration anymore. Don't look at it with disappointment and bitterness. Get rid of the bitter taste in your mouth. There's honey in the rock, my brother. If you just get the right attitude, go and taste the sweetness of what he's doing for you. He has a purpose. He's unfolding something. Let him be God. Let him be the shepherd. You be the sheep. He knows how to get you to where you're supposed to be. Let's give him praise, saints, for what he's done. Amen. Let's go. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never tires to answer your prayers. But he knows how to answer. Like we said the other week, he knows sometimes even when he says no, there's something better in store. He's trying to bring us to that place. And may his will be done.
Wonderful, Jesus is to me.
satisfied, banishes my sadness, kills his form. Peace like the river, Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives and a full salvation. Of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed in the book of heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me.
I bless your name.
Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the judgment. Where he leads me, I will follow. Let it be a prayer as you sing and say, Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord, where I failed to recognize the goodness of the Lord in all that you've done for me. Forgive me, Lord, when I never discerned your hand in so many circumstances and things, Lord, but I submit today and I say, Lord, you know best. You know better than me. I give myself to you. So lead me, Lord. Where you lead me, I will follow.
I can hear my Savior calling. Can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow.
I'll go with him to
judgment. I'll go with him to the judgment. I'll go with him to the judgment.
I had a dream. I was walking on the beach. There were two sets of footprints on the sand. One belonged to me, the other to the Lord. He was walking close beside me in the sand. You know the story. And then as I came to the rough parts of the journey, I looked back and I saw there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And I said, Lord, but you promised me that you would never leave me nor forsake me. How come then, Lord, in the rough parts of the journey, there's only one set of footprints? And he said, my child, that's when I carried you. That's one of the greatest miracles, is that he's carried us so many times and we didn't even recognize that it was him. He's done so many things for us. When you thought you couldn't go on, he came and he lifted you up. Friends, I think we should give him worship today. I think we should pray and thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness and repent before him for limiting the Holy One of Israel and saying, Lord, let your will be done. Let's all come to a time of prayer before we dismiss.
Father, at the end of this service, just thinking about your goodness, O Lord, to us. Like Brother Andrew mentioned yesterday, we had nice fellowship, Lord, thinking about those things, how you take care of us, O Lord. Many times we travel for service, like Brother Maxwell is mentioning many times, and nothing happened to us. O Lord, you keep us safe. Many times we go home and we see car, maybe in ditch somewhere, something happened, but Lord, you kept us safe. Amen. Oh Lord, you kept our children safe. Yes. Even Brother Wilmo mentioned when he went to Africa, how that accident happened and that man just turned and told him, that was God's grace to you, oh Lord. Amen. Oh Lord, we are so thankful. Maybe sometimes we don't see like that footstep on that sand, oh Lord, that you take care of us, that you are taking us, oh Lord, when it's really hard and we can't see anything, but you move people here and there. You move people here and there, oh Lord, for our protection, oh Lord. Oh Lord, we are so thankful, oh Lord, thinking about that man when they send him to space, that he can see God and stuff like that, oh Lord. But you rose one girl, I heard that story, oh Lord. Amen. And she just says, sir, you couldn't see God, because Bible says just with pure of heart they Amen. Can see God, oh Lord. Amen. Oh, we are so thankful that we can Amen. See you, oh Lord. Amen. Everywhere we turn, oh Lord, Amen. You made us pure, oh Lord. Pure heart that we can see you and worship you, oh Lord. Amen. Oh Lord, we are so thankful, oh Lord, that you are taking care of us, oh Lord. Amen. That you are moving things here and there, oh Lord. When we can't see, oh Lord, oh help us, oh Lord. Help us that we can bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Oh Lord, that we enough worship you, that we enough glorify you in our life, that we enough Amen. Testify of you, oh Lord. Help us. Fill our mouth with good things, O Lord. Amen. That, O Lord, when we just leave this place, O Lord, that like David says, you spoke once, but I heard twice, O Lord. You speak to our hearts, O Lord, Amen. That we will be convinced to glorify your name, O Lord. Live such a life that neighborhood will see that something, that there is God, O Lord. Amen. That there is God, because Word of God says that we are written epistle, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. We want to just commit ourselves into your hands. Even our children, what we have, O Lord, that we can just do what you want for us to do, O Lord. O Lord, we want to ask even for those who couldn't come, O Lord, that you will bless them, visit them, O Lord. Maybe people in needs, O Lord. You are one provider, like we sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, O Lord. We want to ask you, O Lord, help us. We just commit ourselves into your hands with thanksgiving, because we know that you took our life into your hands long, long time before, O Lord. Thinking about Jonah, how you prepared that fish to carry him in certain place, O Lord. If you think about our life in such a way, O Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care of us. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Amen. We want to ask you, O Lord, if you can direct our path, that we can testify of you to certain Amen. People Amen. Whom I came in, O Lord. Amen. We're supposed to testify, O Lord. Use us yes. for your kingdom, we ask. Yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. When Brother Vlad was saying that about that girl who said that to that astronaut, yeah? It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the first people that went to the moon, I think one of them was Buzz Aldrin, I think. If you read the testimony, it's a very good one. He was a Christian man. And as they went in orbit around the moon, before they went in the moon land, he was the second man to step on the moon. He took communion. His church had given him a little piece of bread. He had a little thing of wine. He got permission. And just before getting on the moon land, he took communion. So it just shows. The prophet says, if God is in you, you'll see God everywhere. But if God isn't in you, you'll never see him. And that's the difference that it makes. Let's sing that song as we dismiss Jehovah Jireh. Just one announcement. There's no service on Wednesday. We have a special officers meeting on Wednesday. Just trying to prepare for elections and so forth. So there'll be no prayer meeting on Wednesday. It's just for the officers of the church this Wednesday. Please keep that in prayer, and may God bless you this week. Let's sing Jehovah Jireh. You're more than enough for me.
Jehovah Jireh,
let's start it again, Deborah. A bit faster, brother.
Let me see.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you my healer, by your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me, you supply all my needs. You are more than enough, more than enough. You are more.